Jude is going to read to us, and it's from Isaiah 59:1-9a and then 14-15. You'll see the words on the screen if you want to follow them. Thank you, Judy.
Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They're utter lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die. And when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mock their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in dark, deep shadows. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice.
Thanks, Judy. Recently, Liz and I have been studying Deuteronomy. Not an easy book to study in some ways, is it? Some difficult passage in Deuteronomy. But one thing I felt ran right through that book. It was all about how the Jews should treat their fellow human beings, really, when they went to the Promised Land, the foreigner as well as their own people, how they should treat them justly and righteously. So that one word I felt went through that book of Deuteronomy, that word justice. That hymn we sang just, that song we sang to start with, was based on words of Deuteronomy. You probably knew that. Deuteronomy right near the end. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. All his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Now, the Old Testament has lots to say about justice, you know. If you look through a concordance, you'll find the word the justice occurs over and over again. The Bible says that the Lord is a God of justice. God cares about justice. He cares about doing things right, treating people right. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find over and over again God scolds his people for not treating people properly. The poor, the needy, the downtrodden, because they ill-treated people, it was not just. One of the perhaps most famous texts was in Amos, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. So God says, he said in fact at the time to the people, all very well having your rituals, your sacrifices, your offerings at the temple, but what I care most about is justice. Let justice roll on like a river, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. That's what really mattered. And in Micah chapter 8, we read, what does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? That's what God cares about. We act justly and love mercy. And so often in the Old Testament you find the people didn't keep those rules, they didn't treat people properly. And God cared about that. And again in Isaiah, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. God cares about people, how they're treated. And when we don't treat people properly, he is angry about it. He doesn't like it. Because God is a God of justice, and he cares about justice. Again in Isaiah 56, this is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. I could go on and on, but just perhaps one more of these, couple more of these texts in the Old Testament. Zechariah this time. This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. Same sort of idea, isn't it? God is concerned about these things. Hosea 12:6. But you must return to your God, maintaining love and justice, and always waiting on your God. So God cares, he's a just God, he cares about injustice. When people are unjust, God is angry about it. When we see in the world today, so much injustice, isn't there? So much injustice. And God cares about that. God is angry when people aren't treated fairly, when they're abused and downtrodden. God cares, and he's angry because he's a God of justice. Now, most people have a sense of justice, don't they? We want justice to be done. If a court case comes up and the judge is too lenient, we say, that wasn't a strong enough sentence. You should have had longer jail sentence than that, don't we? Or we say, that was too harsh, that sentence. That wasn't really right. It was too harsh. We have a sense of justice, don't we? What we think ought to happen. And that's a God-given sense of justice, isn't it? God gives us that sense of justice. In fact, many of these Old Testament rules are reflected in the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, what he taught, aren't they, about how we live and treat people. The Sermon on the Mount, telling people how Jesus wants us to live. So we have a sense of justice. However, is it possible to escape justice? The last war, Hitler murdered millions of people. Yet at the end of the war, he killed himself. Did he escape justice by committing suicide? Did he escape justice? No, he didn't escape justice. He certainly didn't, because he has to face God's justice. Just recently, Muhammad Al-Fayed's been in the news, hasn't he? Allegations against him. Now, did he escape justice? He's dead now. Has he escaped justice? He hasn't escaped justice. He'll meet God's justice. So no one escapes justice, absolutely no one. You cannot escape justice. We live in a moral universe, and I'm glad we do. Controlled by a God of justice, so we cannot escape justice. So what about these people then, who people think they've escaped justice? Well, in Acts 17, when Paul was in Athens, he told the people this: God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So he's saying, God's going to judge the world through Jesus. He's coming and he will judge everyone with justice. So God's judgment will be absolutely perfect. No one will be able to say that wasn't fair, that wasn't right, because God is absolutely just. His justice will be final, it will be absolute and incontrovertible. Now those, the Anglicans especially, say the creed regularly, don't you? In the creed we have these words: he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. That's the basic Christian creeds, isn't it? That Jesus will come again as judge to love the living and the dead. So no one will escape justice. No one will escape justice. Part of Christian doctrine, the doctrine of final judgment. So most people would be pleased when the Hitlers and Al-Fayeds of the world face justice, wouldn't they? But what about us? What about us? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that includes all of us, doesn't it? All of us. So what about us then? How shall we escape? How shall we escape? Well, God has made a way for us. 1 John 2. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So yes, there is a way to escape God's justice by turning to Jesus, an advocate with the Father, who gave his life for us on the cross. One of the hymn writers put it like this, didn't he? Or trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet. On the cross, God's love was satisfied and his justice was satisfied too, because Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. So that's the way to escape, by letting Jesus take our sin. God hates sin. His justice demands sin be punished, but he sent Jesus to take the punishment. Were it not for the grace of God, we'd be in real trouble, wouldn't we? There's a hymn we often sing, one of my favourites, the hymn that starts Townend. Does it start now? In Christ Alone. And words in there, some people won't sing it, I know. Some people refuse to sing these words. Till on the cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Some people object to that. I know people object to it. The wrath of God, they don't like that idea, but it's a fact. God hates sin. Jesus took the wrath of God on himself for us, took our judgment on himself. So I don't mind singing those words if they're true. The famous atheist Richard Dawkins had this to say. If God wanted to forgive our sins, why did he not just forgive them without having himself tortured and executed in payment? Now, Dawkins doesn't understand justice, does he? That wouldn't be justice. If we didn't have some responsibility for our sins, that wouldn't be justice. If we got off scot-free. But Jesus took our punishment, so that's why he had to die. That's justice, because Jesus took our punishment. So justice has been done. Has been done. Dawkins doesn't understand justice, does he? But when we think of a judge saying, I know you've done a terrible thing, but I'm a kind chap, I'll let you off, you can go free. There'd be an outcry, wouldn't there? There'd be an outcry if someone, a judge, did that and said, never mind, I'm kind, don't go to prison. That wouldn't be justice, would it? God cannot just say, well, never mind, I'm a kind, loving God, you can go free. The penalty had to be paid. But God's grace provided that way for us. An advocate. There was once a famous atheist humanist called Margarita Laski. I remember hearing on radio saying, I could never accept the atonement, it's totally immoral. The idea that some innocent person would die for sinful people is totally immoral. I could never accept that, she said. But when she was dying, you know, just before she died, she said, what I envy most of all about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. So she rejected God's forgiveness and said, no one to forgive me at all, because she rejected God's offer of forgiveness, the atonement. How tragic. How tragic. It wasn't immoral, Jesus dying for us. It was God's justice, God's grace. So it wasn't immoral at all. We do have someone to forgive us, don't we? Almighty God through Jesus. A Christian writer called Derek Prince wrote a book called The Divine Exchange. It's like this. Jesus was perfect. We're sinful. But God put our sin on Jesus so we could be free. Divine exchange. Or as Paul puts it in the New Life Version, God Christ never sinned, but God put our sin on him. That's the divine exchange. A bargain, if it's not irreverent to say so. Have our sin put on Jesus, his righteousness on us. That's God's justice, isn't it? God's justice. Well, as Isaiah put it, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's God's justice. God is satisfied with Jesus dying for us, taking our sin from us, and we're free. Don't need to fear the future. We're free from judgment if we trust in Jesus. As Paul says in Romans, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus, if we have faith in him. There's a way for us to be forgiven and free of any fear of judgment. Our record's clear. Our judgment is past. When this life's over, everyone will meet Jesus. We'll greet him either as our judge or as our Lord. Be welcomed into his kingdom of heaven. So that's the choice, isn't it? Face judgment ourselves and let Jesus take it from us. Then we're free. May God help us to know his justice being satisfied through our faith in him.